Hey, what up? So, I have Tequila Talks, Tequila Tales with Casey Hartle, CEO of Titanium Tequila. He's going to tell you all about how tequila is made, and we're going to talk about mezcal, and we're going to talk about the worm, and we're going to talk about marketing, we're going to talk about COVID, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff, so hold on, tune in, listen up.
It's happening now.
Oh, hey.
We did about 3 test runs. So, hi, this is Sharon, hostess of Middle Finger Happiness Podcast. Work hard, live well, don't fuck with me. Lots of stories of resilience and, I don't know, just getting over speed bumps in life. And I'm thrilled. I have a guest here. I'm just going to get to Mr. Casey Hartle, CEO of Titanium Tequila.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I'm glad you're here. People asked me because I had... promoted it a little bit. Someone asked me how I found you or how I met you. I'm like, I think it was 6 a.m.
Yes.
Loaves and fishes. Volunteering,
feeding some of the homeless here in Houston and
yeah,
doing what's in our heart.
And I saw this. I did a snoop. I did a lurking on their website. I always have to. So you do a lot of this stuff. You do a lot of community work. If you have any projects you guys are working on?
Well, not specifically. We try to diversify a little bit. We do some with some soldiers that come back with here in Texas, some of the wounded warriors, some work with the homeless, some we've done with Lupus Foundation. We try to diversify with what we do. We always try to give back to our community.
It's good to do that. And then, you know, it just makes you feel better. And it also makes you, I don't know, makes me feel appreciative.
And Camp Hope also.
Oh, Camp Hope? Where do they do?
Camp Hope, it helps some soldiers that come back, and it gives them hope and facilities and resources. One of our customers, Gringo's, Jimmy Changa's, the owner, Russell Ibarra, is a great guy. He works heavily with Camp Hope and really helps with our soldiers. You know, all politics aside, you know, our soldiers represent us.
Yes.
They fight to keep us free, and they do these things. So it's very important to help them acclimate when they come back.
When they come
take
back.
Care of them, because they're still, you know, they're Americans. They're us.
They're us. I'm a military brat, Air Force and Army, my dad and my uncles and veterans, and they don't come back the same.
No.
They come back what I call with guardrail damage. So really we have to make sure we do stuff for them. So putting that aside, we were talking off the mic. I should do a thing called off the mic because I'm like, I'm sure tequila is doing great during COVID. So you were mentioning how you've had to do things differently and how has COVID affected tequila. Before we do that, why tequila? Why not another spirit? And I mean...
Well, try to keep a long story short as I can with our Titanium Tequila. I had been in the spirits business for about 15 years at the time that I met Robert and Sergio Mexis. They had started the idea of Titanium Tequila around 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Sergio had gotten our agave field. He's the partner that's in Mexico that oversees the operations on that side. Robert's here with me in Houston.
And in Mexico, I also, now this wasn't on your website, but in general, agave is grown only in Jalisco?
Yes, there's a few other states. Well, the agave, the blue upper agave comes from Jalisco. There's a couple other states that have been granted, or actually just distilleries or areas that have been granted the right to make tequila by the CRT, but the easiest rule of thumb is just to say Jalisco.
And why is that? They just don't let other states, or is that because the plant grows there?
It's the best region. You have the highlands and the lowlands, which is the biggest difference between the blue ever agave.
Oh, wow.
The difference between a mezcal and a tequila is tequila has to be a blue ever agave. Mezcal can be a mixture of different agave plants. There's more to it than that, but that's one of the biggest.
I'm picking your brain on raspado and what's one of my girlfriends asked me about añejo.
Yes, you have when you have tequilas, the not getting into flavors or you know, kind of cute marks like that. The basics of tequila, you have your blancos, you have your reposado, you have your añejo, and then you have your ultra aged or extra añejo.
Okay, so the ultra aged. I like the name.
In Mexico, the CRT actually calls it ultra-aged. A lot of people in America call it extra añejo. It's the same thing.
Okay.
But the actual category.
And it's a brown color. Is it more?
Yes, it gets. So a Blanco, if it's 100% agave, it's 100% agave Blanco.
So is that
Blanco.
Silver?
Yes.
Or, okay.
Blanco silver is unaged. A reposado by CRT law is a minimum of 2 months in an oak barrel, short of a year. So it's between 2 months and a year. So a reposado has to be aged in that time. Ours in particular is aged 8 months. When you get to an añejo, it's a minimum of 1 year, but it has to be short of 3 years. So any time frame in there.
Wow.
Ours is a year and a half is what we go with.
Okay.
Then your ultra age is a minimum of 3 years.
Wow.
Maximum to whatever you want. We do a blend of our 3.5 year and our 5 year. We actually tried to do all 5 year, and it was an amazing spirit, but it was more just a whiskey because you get to that age.
Yeah. So
you get to that
really
age, it's a very nice spirit, but it loses the agave flavor, and the oak really takes over. So. It's a tricky thing when you get to an extra añejo because we're very proud to be a tequila and we want you to get a hint of that agave spirit.
Okay.
So if you age it too long, you lose that agave. So we kind of came on the blend where we're like, okay, the five is an amazing spirit, but then it's truly more whiskey than it is tequila.
What do you mean whiskey?
Well, the barrel aging process. So even when you make a whiskey, like a bourbon or any whiskey, it starts off clear. Looks like moonshine.
Oh.
Just like a Blanco tequila is clear.
Okay.
Then through the aging process, the barrel itself gives it the color. And
right.
It gives a certain flavor profile that you're used to, some of the sweetness of the barrel,
okay.
Particularly if it's a charred barrel. Which,
and the wood, what kind of wood is that barrel made out of?
We use American oak, but we use double charred bourbon barrels. So the barrels were used once. In bourbon, you can only use a barrel once. So it's common practice for a bourbon maker to use the barrel once and then sell it off to tequila makers, rum makers, other even scotch makers.
And that barrel can be used again over and over?
It can be used. It can usually used 3 to 4 times.
Okay.
We use our barrels once because we like the marrying process of the particular bourbon that we use. The barrels that we use. Excuse me, not the bourbon, but the barrels we use.
Mm-hmm.
We like the there's something called the Devil's Cut, which is where the whiskey gets it is absorbed by the wood. So then it's dehydrated. So there's about a liter's worth of that whiskey in the barrel that's dehydrated. When you put the tequila in and it ages, it hydrates and that marries with the tequila and creates a certain flavor profile as it gets older. So the longer it's in the barrel, the more oak flavor it gets, like a whiskey.
Right.
So if you age it too long, it all of a sudden starts to just taste like whiskey, or starts to taste very oaky.
No longer tequila.
Right. We want you to taste that agave spirit.
The agave spirit. And how long does it take for an agave plant? Now that I remember because a friend of mine, that's a long time.
Yes, an agave plant can take anywhere from 7 to 12 years to mature. You kind of, the humidors will kind of get a feel for whenever they feel like it's mature. It can be upwards of 200 pounds whenever it matures. You see the stalks where it looks more like a cactus on the top side, but when you actually cut it out, it looks almost like a pineapple, like a gigantic pineapple.
Wow.
And you cut that down to the piña, to the heart of that, and that's what you end up roasting. And whenever you roast it and cook it, that's where you kind of get the sugars that come out of it. That's what you use to ferment to create the tequila.
And so I've seen movies. I don't remember the name of the movie, but I've seen where they have like fields of tequila or the plant, and then there's people with guns babysitting or watching the plants or taking care, making sure people don't steal the plants. Is that true, or is that kind of a?
That's probably it's in some areas. I mean, you might see that, but that doesn't happen too often.
Okay.
You'll more often see the humidors with the tool that they use to harvest called a koa. It looks like a long stick with like a half moon knife on it, and they use that to cut up, cut and chop it down.
Oh, that's the death guy. What's his name?
That's a little different.
You know what I'm talking about.
But yeah, they're both dangerous.
They are. So
don't mess with a humidor.
Yeah, there you go. You got to watch those guys because I mean that's way out in the
those
way
guys,
out.
Those guys work hard. They're very hard.
I can imagine.
They're the heart and soul of tequila, really.
And tequila's been around for how long? I mean, like, go back to history, like...
Hundreds and hundreds. I mean, if you go way, way back, it's really the Indians that started, with the agave plant and kind of experimenting with it. So it goes back quite a ways. And there's different ways to, even as old as tequila, there was mezcals and, experimenting with different, like I said, they use different agave, not just blue rubber agave. And they... which this isn't done in making tequila too much anymore, but the old mezcal way, they would have, you know, pits of rocks that they would actually put the agave on and smoke it. And that's why, you know, mezcal, besides the different agave having different flavor, the way that they would smoke it in a pit would create some of that, like, mezcal has a really smoky flavor.
It does have a smoky flavor. It's the smoky sister of tequila.
Right.
And what's the deal with the worm? Because I told her about it. Is there a worm? And not.
See, that's one thing, too, and I'm glad you asked, because a lot of people ask me, you know, tequila has a worm in it. Tequila has never, ever, ever had a worm. Mezcal has the worm in it, and a lot of people were confused with that because they thought it was tequila, but it's literally illegal by the CRT to add.
Or a boll weevil.
But mezcal wasn't regulated. It's being more and more regulated nowadays, but I think the worm thing came out in the 70s and 80s. And
I think, was that an accident? It just
No,
fell
it was
in?
A marketing ploy. It was a marketing ploy, and it was, you know, if you, it was kind of a, hey, if you eat the worm, it's good luck, or it's magical, or something. You know, it was just but it brought attention to it, because here we are
talking about it on the podcast.
That was in the 70s and 80s, and they're still talking about it.
We're in 2002, we're talking about it.
But yeah, it was never in tequila. Never. Always mezcal.
Oh, God.
But that's a common thing that's asked.
People do ask about that. I was like, okay, I got to figure that out. Yeah. So you grow the plants, you ferment them. Or there's the process.
So the process, what you do.
How long does it take it to make a bottle? Let's just add it that way. It's one bottle.
It can vary in time. But you start with the plants and the humidors, and then they bring the plants to the distillery. And then there's two ways to really cook. There's two proper ways to cook your agave plant to get it ready for fermenting. And that's the old horno or ovens, mm-hmm. where you kind of see where they shove them into like an old clay oven. And then cook them there, and that there's a lot of great tequilas that are made that way, and that's kind of the old way to do it. It's a little less clean because they're kind of old clay ovens. You can't really, really clean them perfectly. It almost creates a
layer of flavor, or
it creates
a layer.
I don't want to say an artificial, because there's nothing artificial about the flavor, but it's almost like when you put something on a grill. The grill's clean, but it's never really clean.
Yeah, yeah, it's got the leftovers.
And it
kind
of has like a little flavor.
You're
right. And it's not artificial. There's nothing, it's a very pure process, so I don't want to say it's not a pure process, because a lot of great tequilas are made that way. And then outside of that, a little more modern technology with what we use, it's called an autoclave, a stainless steel autoclave. It looks like a big, large tube. And in that tube, you put your agave, and it's stainless steel, so it's very clean all the time. And it uses steam to pressure cook it.
Okay.
Now, whenever you do that, you know, it loses that flavor that you can get from the smoke of the fire and all of that. But it's a cleaner process. Now, some people, whenever they use the autoclave, it's so efficient, you can cook your agave in 6 to 8 hours.
Oh, wow.
I know we do it a little different. We're not the only ones, but there's a few that do it a little different, where we cook ours 20 to 30 hours. So even though you're still steam cooking it, if you do it a little bit slower and not so rushed, I compare it to cooking something in your microwave versus your oven.
Okay.
They're both cooked, but if you do it in 6 hours,
yeah,
or if you do it in 20
like slow
hours,
cooker,
it's,
almost.
It's a
yeah.
slower, and it really brings out better sugars to ferment
and
out
flavors.
Of the agave.
And then from there, is it bottled there, or is it bottled?
No, from that point, you take it, you kind of shred it up until it's ready to be fermented, mm-hmm. and then you put your strain of yeast in there, you open air ferment it. That can take, it's not exactly the same all the time, but usually about 48 hours, somewhere in there.
Wow.
48 to maybe 72 hours, it just depends on the size of the batch and what you're doing. At that point, then you're ready to distill it. We use copper stills. Copper stills versus, you know, straight stills, it makes a little difference. Vodka tends to be straight stills, where it's a different reaction between the copper.
Chemical reaction, of the heat, yeah.
Yeah, and we like the flavor that the copper stills give. We double distill it. We do what they call cutting the heads and the tails, which is a common term.
Sounds like a shrimp.
Yeah. It's a common term that a lot of people in the industry know, but to best explain it, whenever the liquid comes out, if you can imagine having a sports drink that you put your scoops in, your water, you shake it up really well.
Right.
In the bottom, you have some sediment that sits.
Yeah.
And the top.
Have some, yeah.
In the top, it's really light.
Yes.
And the middle's perfect. That middle part is what we cut the heads and the tails. So it's cutting that bottom part and the top part and bottling the middle part. And then the rest of it can be redistilled until the point where it becomes water again, and they can water the fields with it. So instead of wasting, so we cut the heads and tails and we bottled just
wow.
that.
Wow.
And then whenever you do that, you kind of let your Blanco rest until it's ready. That can be 2 months, 4 months. You'll know when it's ready. It just depends on the batch.
Wow.
And then at that point, you put it in your barrels. And with the barrels, we use double charred, once used bourbon barrels. Once they're in the barrels, you age it for the amount of time. Again, ours, 8 months for the Repo, a year and a half for the Añejo.
So much and, just for a yeah, bottle. And then we make our margarita real quick. And
that's it.
And
yeah.
then we drink. We don't even think about it.
Right. And then
gosh.
The flavor profile, as it gets older and aged longer, even though it's still an agave spirit, it does become more whiskey-like. So often people try an Añejo or they try an extra yeah. Añejo and they don't really know what to do with it as far as a cocktail. They know to drink it on the rocks, but some people just don't want to drink straight alcohol.
Right.
But whenever you have an Añejo or a particularly well-made Añejo or ultra-aged, you can actually make drinks that you would with a whiskey. You can make an old-fashioned, you can make a Manhattan.
I
you
saw
can make
that, yeah.
A whiskey sour with it. And it's going to... The whiskey notes of the barrel uh-huh. will really complement those cocktails. However, the agave touch to it will create like a new experience for you with that cocktail. So it's a unique way of drinking it where it complements those whiskey style drinks, but it's like with a little twist.
With a little twist. And I didn't think about an old fashioned.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So I'm going to switch gears. So Robert de Harina uh-huh. is the founder.
Yeah. Robert, Sergio, and then... Myself.
And
yeah.
yourself.
And Robert's the primary owner and funder. He's based here in Houston.
Based here in Houston. But I was looking at you. You went to Texas Tech.
I did.
Yay.
Guns up.
Woo-hoo-hoo. And you, what did you, didn't major in tequila making. What
no.
happened? I mean, that's
majored in telecommunications.
Telecommunications, but I mean, do people go to school for tequila? Is there a tequila?
No, you would probably go to, you know, hotel, restaurant management school and something of that, and then get into... the business that I got into. It was a long road. I was an amateur boxer and MMA fighter, and my ex-wife, she was working at a large distributor that we actually distribute our tequila through now. She was working there. I had gotten a job here in Houston working for a guy that developed boxing equipment.
Wow.
We had met at a boxing show that I was at and kind of worked for him. I kind of outgrew him. She was working at the distributor. I went to go work for them as a wine salesman, then a liquor salesman, and then kind of worked my way up. And
so all the moving parts of the liquor industry.
Yeah, all the different ways, calling on different accounts, managing different people. And then Robert and I met around 2013.
Mm-hmm.
Had a long discussion. Then he asked if I wanted to come on and help he and Sergio and grow the business, because they are both great businessmen and they do well in their business, but neither one of them had a spirits or beverage industry background.
The background, and you had the marketing savvy,
yeah,
so that's where you got
the marketing and the understanding of the, you know, the products, you know, the margins, the importing, the all those different things that, you know, that they shouldn't know. It wasn't their business, you know.
Right.
So they, you know, I joined around, they started again the idea around 2012. I came around 2013. After they had gotten the ball rolling.
So it was initially like a startup, and you helped them get to a national brand.
Yeah. And I got with them before we even got to launching the brand. But they had started making the tequila at that point. So they were making it. Again, Sergio found the agave field, our master distiller, the distillery we're making it in, and got that part rolling. And then I came on before the actual business part needed. You know, okay, now we're going to start importing. Now what is the margin going to be? What are the prices going to be? What is our target market? What is our
how do you know what to price it at? Or I should say, I mean, these are marketing questions, but I mean,
well, no, you have a standard margin. There's one thing for me. We're a premium brand.
Mm-hmm.
My particular marketing strategy, I call us we're obtainable luxury. We won a gold medal at the San Francisco World Spirits Challenge with our Blanco,
what?
Our Reposado,
congrats.
A silver with our Añejo, our ultra aged, got a 94 from the Beverage Tasting Institute, best overall value. So my goal was for us to make the best tequila in the world, but I want to make it at a price point where people can enjoy it.
Right.
And we've done that. It's we're a premium brand, so it's not going to be cheap, but we're going to be less expensive than your known super premiums. And sometimes, you know, I want to kick myself for that because people just see price and they assume quality over price. Even though when we do taste tests and we've never entered a competition and not won or placed, and we've done really well. You know, when you get to the super high-end brands, I'm confident in us as much as any tequila in the world. However, you have your palate and your taste preference, and I have mine. So I can't say that you're going to absolutely pick mine over every single one in the world. Right. But I know you're going to taste ours against anybody and say that holds up, whether it's not exactly hitting your palate perfectly.
Right.
But we know we hold up against anybody, and it's proven against the world's best.
Well, I've only had the silver.
Yeah.
And I like it.
Yeah.
And it, for me, that's actually a sipping tequila.
Yeah, yeah, we are proud of that. That's one thing that we worked on with our master distiller. He's amazing. He's great. You know, we allow him to be an artist in what he does.
And the bottle is gorgeous.
Thank you.
The bottle of the, in fact, I still have it at the house. I didn't get rid of it. And I have two of them. They're empty. But it's like, so what was the design behind that? The curvature or the little?
That was a little bit to do with Sergio is a very, our partner in Mexico is very artistic in his ways and what he does. And very brilliant that way. Sometimes so much so that you have to reel him in. Like it's amazing that he comes up with this original idea, but at the same time, you got to kind of hone it in because he's so brilliantly artistic that you need to make it for every person because it's so you know. But as far as coming up with the original idea, you're like, wow, that's amazing what you did.
Where
you
came up with it.
So he's really great with that. But he came up with some of the bottle and the design, and I know nobody can see this but you, but I'll show you real quick.
Let me see a picture. I'm looking, guys.
This was outside of Guadalajara. This was actual, our bottles are color-coded on the bottom for people that can't see it right now, but it's color-coded on the bottom. The Blanco has a blue.
Like an aqua.
Yeah, that's kind of our actual company color, is that
right.
that tealish blue. There's kind of a goldish yellow coloring to the bottom of our Reposado. We have red on our Añejo and purple on our Ultra Age, but our initial Blanco, Reposado, and Añejo marks were inspired by these little buildings outside of Guadalajara. So you can see that was our actual
inspiration. Oh, yeah. And he took those.
Yeah, so we took that as an idea, and we're like,
because
we wanted to, we had the idea to color code them, but we wanted to make them all unique, because some people, you know, we're selling in America, some people have a hard time saying, you know, Reposado. They might say Reposado or something.
Right,
you know,
they're not, like, how do you say that word?
You know, it's not your native language, so it's understandable. But you know what you can remember is, I really love the red one. I really love the purple.
Oh, yeah, or the blue one. So
the blue one.
Maybe the blue one.
Yes.
It's like, I like the blue one on that one.
Yeah, we wanted a color code so you could easily tell which one.
Well, it's cool how you guys took all the moving parts and you took all the, I guess, the skill set of each person, of their efficacy, their usefulness, and just said, hey, okay, you're good at this, you're good at this, and then you guys brought it all together and
right.
made it happen. These are some silly questions, but they're good.
Okay.
So I think you're gonna like this because it has to do with the tequila. What are your creative hours as a person who runs the tequila company, as a CEO? Like, where are your creative hours?
Oh, it never stops.
It doesn't stop.
No, yeah, my mind's always going on what we can do, how we can grow, marketing ideas.
Do you like write these things down, or you text yourself?
If I wake up in the middle of the night, I'll write it down. I put it on my notes on my phone.
Yeah, same here. Okay.
And actually, Robert's really good with that. Things will, you know, sometimes he'll call me at 11 o'clock on a Sunday when something hits him in his head, and vice versa when we think of something, you know, and then we're like, okay, even though we're gonna see each other Monday, let's get this out now. So when we see each other Monday, we're gonna get this.
Because
you know,
if you don't write it down.
Right.
Have you ever had an idea and you're like, okay, I'll remember it, and then you're like, you can't remember.
Yeah, I learned that a long time ago.
I learned it. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm like, what's that movie, A Beautiful Mind? I was meeting with my friend Hector today about my book covers, and I showed him the papers, and he's like, girl, what is it? That's the book. So I don't know if you have it like that. I'll show it to you before you leave. So there's another important question. What does Titanium Tequila want to be known for? I mean, if you could kind of like tell somebody, this is what we want to be known for.
Well, this is going to sound so simple. I want to be known as the best tequila in the world. However, we want to be going to the obtainable luxury. I want to be the best tequila in the world that everybody can enjoy. There's no, while we are a premium, and again, I would put us against anybody, there's no, we're not pretentious. We want you to enjoy it. Like, I don't feel like I need to overcharge people for a great quality product. And I don't need to tell you how great I am. I want you to taste it and enjoy it. And I get my satisfaction from you enjoying our product.
There you go.
And I want you to be able to enjoy it as often as possible. You know, again, we're not a cheap bottom shelf, but I have to make enough margin to stay in business.
Of course, right.
But outside of that, there's no heavy pricing. So we want to be, you know, everybody's favorite brand is kind of what we like to be.
Well, you're the first tequila that I've actually was able to sip, because I thought all tequila was that makes you, oh my God, like you got to have something to drink right after you take a sip or a shot.
That bitter beer face almost.
And this one was, it was a big chunk square. It was a square piece of ice. Put some on there and sipped on it while I was cooking dinner. And I was like, wow, it was smooth. That was the word. It was really smooth. It was like, in fact, I went back and looked at the bottle. I was like, is this water? I thought it had almost like that kind of a flavor to it.
It has a very full agave forward flavor, but
it was nice.
The one thing I say with our master distiller that he's really good at is he allows it to be very agave forward. So when you taste it, you know you're drinking tequila.
Right.
But that harsh lingering burn that some tequilas can leave that you know, if you're drinking it straight, of course, you're drinking an 80 proof alcohol.
Right.
So you're going to get a little warmth from the alcohol.
Right.
But as far as actual burn and that lingering burn, it almost melts off the back of your palate. So it's not so smooth that it's like a vodka. You know you're drinking tequila.
Right.
It has a very full agave flavor, but it has a very smooth, refined finish to it.
I think, too, because I let my ice cube sit there while I was cooking and kind of melted it down, it was so delicious.
Oh, yeah, and when you get with the... try the aged ones very much like you would with a scotch, where you can either put a drop of water, you can put a cube in and let it melt a little bit with the ultra age, and it opens up new flavors that you would get just like you would with a scotch. So
that's a chemical reaction.
Yeah, it's a chemical reaction, and it kind of, you know, it will lessen the pure alcohol of it a little bit and kind of allow other flavors to come out. So you're not getting just the pure alcohol. You're getting a little more of the oak notes. You're getting a little, you know, it changes the flavor profile. And that's true of scotch, of bourbon. You know, that's why you see a lot of, you know, bourbon drinkers that drink it neat with nothing else. They do put a cube of ice in.
Yeah.
Same with scotch. And they don't want the ice cube to melt to water, but they want to let it, you know,
yeah, it's
stay
a special
on the rocks,
square piece of ice.
Yeah, let it melt a little bit just to open up the flavor a little bit.
So what... what's a question I always ask? What is your favorite mistake that you guys have done in this whole journey? In fact, you're not even finished with the journey, but it's a nice way to say one of your favorite mistakes for tequila making. Or just, I don't know, marketing or something that you guys thought, oh, yeah, this would be good. And then...
We've made so many mistakes. But, you know, you soldier on, and God, I don't know if I have a favorite one.
Well, or just one that if somebody goes, you know, I tried this and it didn't work, you know, or what advice do you have for somebody who is in an entrepreneurship position?
Well,
and
I was like, you definitely need to build your foundation first. And that's one thing that's real important to me is to build our business foundation. There's some brands that come out there and they want to be in every state and every market immediately, and they throw they have a lot of money, they throw a lot of money at it, and then they're out of business in a couple years because they try to do too much at once without having a solid foundation. And there are mistakes that will be made. I did not like our initial bottle that we had. We changed our bottle. There are some issues with the distributorship before the distributor we're with. There's a lot of things that happen that you learn along the way, and it's better to do it whenever you have a smaller company and you can easily roll with the punches and adapt and go, versus being in 50 states and having 50 major problems and not being able to fix it. So it's very important to build your foundation.
Putting all those fires out with a big company sometimes.
Right, and if Robert were here, he and I could go back and forth about brands we've seen that everybody will say, hey, they're in 20 states and they just came out 2 years ago. What are you guys doing? But they're not around anymore. You know, and we're growing. You know, we've added Louisiana, we've added Arkansas, we've added Colorado, we've added Nevada, and we're slowly but surely building. But we don't ever want to, you know, where you run so fast that your head's out in front of your feet and you fall on your face. We don't want to do that. We want to, you know, be able to keep
That's
our
a good
base,
analogy.
Keep your base underneath you the entire time.
Because people are in a rush for all that.
Yeah.
And I didn't do this. God, why didn't I do it? Okay. Where can people find you? We always do it in the beginning, middle, and end, because I never know when somebody's listening in the car to the podcast.
You can find it. We're in, of course, in
Facebook,
Texas, and Houston. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on our Instagram. Our website, titaniumtequila.com. As far as stores in Texas where we are, you can find us in Specs and Total Wine and Goody Goody and your you know, various mom and pops and some twin stores. And I don't want to leave anybody out because they're all our customers. However, I will say, if your store doesn't have it,
your neighborhood,
you don't need to chase it down and find out where you can find it. You go to your local store that you like to shop at, and we are distributed by Republic National Distribution Company, which is one of the two largest distributors in the state. Every single liquor store in the state of Texas does business with them, or they're not open.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to that liquor store and you insist on them carrying Titanium Tequila or bringing in, even if you just ask them to bring in a bottle as a special order, no matter what they tell you, it can be done.
Wow.
So if they tell you they can't do it, they aren't being honest with you, or they just don't want to take the time.
They would mess with it.
We are with one of the largest distributors, so any store you go to, you ask for it, and that's how we grow. That's how we started with Specs in particular. We started with just the downtown, and now we're in about 65 to 70 different Specs stores, and it's just word of mouth, and you need to just don't let them tell you no.
Okay, so we'll find it.
And for us, I'd rather do that than to tell you. If you say, hey, I live in Katy, Texas, what stores are you in? I can tell you the ones, but if it's not the one that you go to, you'll make a trip once to go get it, but it's inconvenient for you to go the next time.
Right.
So I'd rather you get it at the store you shop at every day, or not every day.
Or
That's a little
Don't be going every day to get your tequila.
But the place that you prefer to shop, I'd rather it be there, so it's convenient.
For the convenience of it, right, because if you don't...
You'll do it again. If it's out of sight, it's out of mind.
Everybody will do that. Okay, so I had another question. I can't remember what I have it. Okay, we talked about Mexico State. It's only in Jalisco, but now it's in other states. But was there a reason?
The CRT governing body. It's kind of there's a few places that have gotten exceptions that are not in that state to do it. So those particular distilleries.
And it's not grown in the U.S.
No, you can't. If you make,
I couldn't grow an agave plant in my backyard.
You can make a. I mean, yes, you can get agave grown in parts of Texas, but you just can't call it tequila. It's similar to if you make cognac somewhere outside of the region where cognac is made, it's a brandy. It's not cognac. If you make champagne outside of Champagne area of France, it's a sparkling wine. It's the same thing, same process, but you can't call it that. So if you made tequila outside of Mexico or outside of Jalisco or where the CRT governing body approves it, it's a trademark of Mexico. So you can't call it. It would just be an agave spirit is all you could call it.
Okay.
Agave, which is very confusing. And, you know, just like bourbon whiskey in particular is an American trademarked item, so it has to be
Kentucky,
made.
I think.
Well, that's a lot of people used to think that there's rules to making bourbon, and bourbon has to be made in the United States, but not in Kentucky. There's debates in history whether bourbon started in the New Orleans, Louisiana area, or in Kentucky. But a lot of people think Kentucky, but there's varying stories on where it started. So a lot of people assume that Kentucky is where it has to be made, and that's not true. But it is an American trademark. It has to be made.
That's pretty cool. So at
my distillery in Mexico, I could follow all of the rules. There's certain rules to making bourbon. I could follow them to a T, but I could never call it bourbon. I could call it whiskey, but I can't call it bourbon
because it's not in the U.S.
Right.
Wow. All right. Well, I'm trying to think. Okay, so what's your favorite drink to make with your silver or your
love right now with the Blanco. I've fallen in love with a drink that is super simple. There's a place in Austin that claims that they came up with it first, and then Marfa, Texas also claims to have come up with it. I've constantly heard it called a Marfa ranch water. A ranch water is a very simple drink. You take your Blanco tequila, you take Topo Chico, and you take a fresh lime, and you squeeze your lime, and you mix them together, and that's it. And it's incredibly refreshing. You're getting a little bit of water with your drink, so it's a nice, you know, especially in this Texas heat, it's a great simple drink.
I saw some of that somewhere.
And the ranch water is very much, especially if you get a nice squeeze of the lime, it's very much, and I mean this in the best way possible, it sounds funny, it's very much a wonderfully watered down margarita. So where it's, I don't mean it tastes watered down, but it's not quite as sweet.
Right.
And doesn't have as much sugar as some margarita mixes can and all that. So it's very, it gives less of a hangover. A lot of people drink margaritas and they think they blame the tequila for their hangover, and tequila is a very pure spirit, especially 100% agave.
It's the sugar
in the drinks. Sugar dehydrates your brain, causes you to have headaches and hangovers. And if you do a margarita, even if you do it with just a squeeze of lime, maybe a little agave syrup or nectar, and then the tequila, it's very much more pure and less of a hangover.
Yeah.
So that's my favorite with the Blancos.
The Blancos. What about the Añejo?
The Añejo, I like to do our mixologist. Shout out to Jojo Martinez, who's based here in Houston. Love Jojo.
And he's a bartender?
She.
Oh, it's a she. Excuse me, Jojo. Sorry.
Jojo is a mixologist. She's been a bartender. She has her own company, events company, and specializing on the beverage side, but does full events. But Jojo's an amazing mixologist, and she does a version of an old fashioned, but it sounds funny, but she includes a little bit of a Kahlua and a few other things. And that Kahlua, the coffee, really works well with the old fashioned and the agave. It's an amazing drink.
Do you have the recipe of that on your website?
We do on our website, but if not, I'll put it up.
But I'll post some of these on the probably on Instagram and on Facebook. I can post some of those things. So, well, cool. I'm trying to think of anything else we should know about tequila. Now that you've cleared up the worm, cleared up the hangover. Uh-huh. It's usually the sugar.
Yes, 100% agave tequila. You're starting with the agave plant, so you're not even starting with there's no grain, there's no gluten, there's no. It's a very tequila, and again, 100% agave Blanco tequila.
Right.
Even if you're on a low gluten diet, it's a very pure spirit.
That was the health benefits I was talking about, I kind of put out there. Diabetics can actually drink tequila.
Yes.
And why is that? I mean, of course, there's no sugar.
There's no sugar. Yeah. And that's the Blanco tequila. Now, when you get to the aged tequilas, you get a hint of it because often you're using once-used bourbon barrels, and it has bourbon that marries in a little bit. It's hints of it, but it's I can't 100% say it's pure.
Pure, right?
Yeah,
right.
Purely clear.
So I was looking at that. And I'm not saying if you're a diabetic to go and get a whole bottle, but just the fact that somebody could enjoy a drink.
Yeah. Even if you're on a diet like a paleo diet, if you do a ranch water, it's sparkling water, and it's Blanco tequila, and it's a squeeze of natural lime. That's it.
Easy. I'm going to make one of those this weekend.
It's like 60 calories for a drink. It's like nothing.
Wow.
Yeah,
we kind of watch those calories, especially with COVID. Speaking of COVID, has COVID helped your business? Has it hurt? Been in the middle? Have you guys kind of seen an up wave now? You're coming up on the
It hurt initially the first couple months. We're growing again. We're bouncing back strong. With a newer brand like ours, we do a lot of business with some great local restaurants from Gringo's, Jimmy Changa's, Cyclone Anaya's, El Tiempo, Alicia's, some wonderful restaurants throughout Houston. And I'm just using Houston because it's our backyard. I'm sorry if you're not here. But some wonderful restaurants, but with them, being shut down at one point, or being 25% or 50%, and people having to scan their menu so they don't get the drink menu that's separate often that you see. So that hurt our business a little bit. And then when people go to retail stores, they tend to go, particularly with COVID, they want to get in and out, so they're buying only the brand they know and not giving new brands a try or doing
chance.
That.
But and of course, you can't do the sipping taste.
We couldn't do the tastings because you didn't want to have gatherings in the liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly, these things are starting to change, but we bounced back. A little scary there for like 2 months. But
I think we all had a scare.
Yeah.
I think all of us. I mean, toilet paper wasn't available. It was like...
I don't know what that was about.
I still don't know what that was about. Like, all of a sudden people needed toilet paper.
It was frustrating, but I don't know why.
There's no toilet paper. We had to do one a roll of paper towels and cut them in quarters because...
Yeah, you had to make it work.
We had to make it work. There was no toilet paper,
literally. It was
ridiculous.
That
was it.
Yeah.
Well, I thank you for being here. I feel like I went to like tequila school. It was just. Is there a tequila school?
There are certifications from Mexico.
If you go to Mexico.
Now there's some classes that are taught various places throughout the U.S. like different tequila clubs and tequila aficionado groups that have certifications. But actually to be certified in Mexico is a little different, but that's the real deal.
That's the real deal there. Yeah. So that's like for example, if you're going to open up a brewery, you got to go to brew school.
Yeah, there's like actual authentic classes and certifications from Mexico that kind of like you can take wine classes that anyway.
It's out there.
Yeah, it's out there.
It's in Mexico.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate you popping in. I know you're a busy man, and you came in here to hang out with me for a bit. And we're gonna
make your beautiful studio. It's awesome.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's got a good vibe in here. It is. It's neat. It's nice to come in here and work.
A lot of stuff gets done.
Well, I thank you, Mr. Casey Hartle, for joining us. And you guys can follow Titanium Tequila on Instagram, Facebook, definitely on their website. This has been Middle Finger Happiness with Sharon Lee Zapata. You can also find my book. I forgot to mention that. It's on Amazon, Middle Finger Happiness, Work Hard, Live Well, Don't Fuck With Me. And it's also the little book of inspiration, and It's a New Day, Don't Be a Shithead. You can tell I have a snark. There's a snarky, funny stuff in these books. But thanks for tuning in. Take care and peace out.